It's Wendy Snyder here along with Steve Bertrand, and I'll tell you, Bill is coming back on Monday. Something that we both like to do, Bill and I, with the show is to learn something. If you walk away from listening to our show and it makes you smile or you learn something, then I say we have achieved our goal for the day. And Steve, we welcome into the studio now a couple of guys that are behind Dispensary 33. We have Paul Lee and Zach Zisis. They're both here on behalf of Dispensary 33. Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks for coming up.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi.
So big ribbon cutting this week, right?
That's right. On Monday, we had the alderman out there. We had a state senator, Staines, and we had a state rep as well, Cassidy.
All right. Now, my question, first of all, is Zach, what is Zach Zisis is here from Dispensary 33. What is your side? You're both representing Dispensary 33. What is your job at Dispensary 33?
I'm sort of in charge of the business side of it. So I'm dealing with both the finances as well as the compliance with the state. And obviously there's a lot of compliance issues with this kind of business.
Absolutely. And Paul Lee, what is your job at Dispensary 33?
The official title from the state is agent in charge. Basically, that's the manager. And I deal directly with patients. And I'm also sort of a product specialist, I guess you'd say. Kind of the cannabis geek around the office. So
please don't take offense to this, either of you, but when you walked in the studio, I'm like, these are the guys who are running Dispensary 33. You're young dudes, and you have to abide by the laws. Let's talk about getting licensed to have a cannabis dispensary. We'll turn this to you, Zach. What are the requirements? Not anybody can just go and say, hey, I want to sell weed.
Yeah, so there are a number of incredibly difficult requirements you have to satisfy. One of the most difficult is on the real estate side, because there are these setback provisions that require any dispensary to be 1,000 feet from a school, a daycare, or even a home daycare licensee.
So are you grouped like with sex offenders? Sex offenders can't live within that area, nor could there be a cannabis dispensary.
I don't like to think of it that way. If we could avoid that.
I'm not comparing you to it anyway, but I mean, that is what it's about, because there are kids around, and kids and marijuana don't really go together. So, and you said that to me off the air, so it's not like, you know, you're all for that. We can talk to Paul at greater length about when a child would do it. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Zach. So you can't be within a certain...
That's right. And in Chicago in particular, where you have these dense neighborhoods, you tend to also, in addition to the schools, the home daycare licensees are just everywhere. It's a lot of moms who, instead of going to work, are taking kids into their homes during the day.
So is it hard for you to find a spot?
So the real estate ends up being nearly impossible, which is why there were very few applicants in Chicago in general, as opposed to some other communities.
So some of the other dispensaries are open.
That's right.
And yours isn't yet.
Suburban, though. Are there any ones in Chicago that are already open?
No, as far as we know, and we know pretty good, we're going to be the first in the city.
And so, because in my head, I thought it was sort of like horses at the gate. You know, once it became legal and ready, everyone was going to be up and running. Is it just because you're in Chicago that it's taken longer, or what's the delay? Or are you right where you want to be? Maybe you're not delayed at all.
No, we would have loved to have opened up with everyone else in the state, or with the few who did manage to open up. Chicago required a special use permit for dispensaries, and the process of getting that special use permit for everyone has been fairly difficult and time-consuming. You have to reach out to the community and make sure the community and the aldermen are on your side, and then you got to appear before the Zoning Board of Appeals to get that approval.
I'm interested, too. I don't want to interrupt. Wendy, go ahead.
Oh, no. Go on. I'm intrigued. I got to tell you, I'm really intrigued by this whole thing. I really am, because, you know, people who are anti-pot don't get this. And I had mentioned before you guys came in, my mom was dealing with cancer, chemo. She really lost her appetite. But I don't think she would have partaken in this had she had the option, because it's just the stigma with it.
Yeah. You know, Wendy, I really see that the attitudes of people that I've sort of been like talking with in the city, because I moved to California about 10 years ago, but I grew up in Chicago for 8 years. And, you know, I've always kind of, you know, been an advocate for, you know, cannabis in terms of medical use. And I think a long time ago, people just weren't really, you know, like really wanting to talk about it, you know, because of that stigma. But nowadays, when I talk with people around the city, they have something totally different to say, or they have a positive opinion about it. They all know somebody who can benefit from medical cannabis.
And what are the, I mean, what are some of the medical conditions that are helped? We had a caller, Joel, who said he had, it's not approved for post-traumatic stress disorder,
right,
but he had a brain injury, traumatic right. brain injury, mm-hmm. and it is okayed for that. What are some of the other medical conditions that you can get your doctor's approval for medical marijuana?
Sure. The obvious ones would be cancer in terms of like the nausea from chemotherapy, or, you know, HIV in terms of the wasting syndrome that people have from that disease.
And wasting, not eating enough, and
exactly.
really their weight is
they're sort of
terrible.
Withering away.
Yes.
You know, so the cannabis really helps them to gain their appetite back, allows them to relax and sleep. You know, basically normal functions, things that they lose when they have these diseases. The number one disease, I think, in Illinois that the cards have been, you know, produced for is fibromyalgia, which is sort of a neuropathic pain that is mostly found in women, I believe. But
I have a friend who suffers from that, just
yeah,
constant
yeah.
pain, uncontrollable. Ibuprofen, steroids, nothing seems to help. It's just your nerves are in pain all the time.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
It's very difficult to treat, and cannabis is one of the most effective medicines for it.
So, Paul, are you, as the agent in charge, mm-hmm. are you a man of science or a man of business? I mean, what's your background in this?
I think I'm a little bit more of, I'm definitely more of the science guy. Zach's
are you?
Definitely
yeah.
the business guy. I was a biologist in college, so like, you know, and I just sort of love like everything to do with plants and nature and things like that. So I definitely lean towards the biological side.
So it's a natural fit for you.
It is, you know, and it's something I've kind of always had an interest in, you know, because it is sort of this, you know, I sort of like that world of like, you know, things that are not so part of the norm, I guess. And,
yeah.
and the funny thing is now it's becoming more and more of the norm. Yeah,
but it will be. When was it officially legalized here for medical?
Well, it became legal, and then it was just a matter of getting all the approvals, right? First
That's
the
right.
growers and then the dispensaries.
The law passed in 2013, and we
wow,
the first patients got
long.
Their product last Monday.
Right.
And which doctor prescribes? This is just your general practitioner? Do you have to go to a psychologist, a psychiatrist? Who prescribes?
So it's really important in this context not to use the word prescribe, I would say. Doctors are legally barred from prescribing a Schedule I controlled substance. So what's happening in this process is a doctor is recommending the use of cannabis. And there's federal law. A federal judge has ruled that doctors have a First Amendment right to make that recommendation.
But they can't prescribe it.
But they can't
prescribe
it. They
could get in trouble.
It.
So are you taking, are you a cash-only business?
We will probably start out cash-only.
Are you worried about that?
We're not particularly worried about it.
Worried why? I'm
well,
just
so
curious.
Because, and I know this came up in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Where because there's still a federal restriction against marijuana, that a lot of dispensaries or stores are afraid to use federally insured banks, or the banks are afraid to take the money, right? So to get around that, or to loans and things such as that, so a way to get around that is to be cash only. Sometimes if you're cash only in a lucrative business, you're a sitting target for robbery.
One of the nice things about how stringent Illinois law is it's given comfort to a number of banks in Illinois to do our banking.
Oh, good.
So we all have bank accounts. The reason why we're cash only has more to do with credit card companies not wanting to do business with a federally illegal business model.
So someone can write you a check.
Someone could write me a check, exactly. And with the cash I have on a daily basis, I can deposit it at my bank.
We have to take a quick break. This is really intriguing to me, finding out more about, is it medical marijuana? Is it medical cannabis? What is the proper terminology? Paul,
I'm
putting
cannabis.
This on medical cabinet.
You can't
medical cabinets. That's where you find your medical cannabis.
Right, right.
We have Paul Lee and Zach Zisis, both here on behalf of Dispensary 33. Dispensary33.com will find out everything else we need to know about medical cannabis. And if you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200. Wendy Snyder, Steve Bertrand, 720 WGN. All right, we are finding out a lot about the medical cannabis procedure. We have a couple of guys from Dispensary 33 And you're not really a couple of guys. You are running it, the owners, Zach Zisis and Paul Lee. Thank you for coming up. I think a lot of people have questions involving this because it's so foreign to me.
Well, it's get used to it because it's going to be around and growing too, I think.
We're going to ask you to put some headphones on, though, real quickly, because we have a caller who wanted to ask a question. And, Steve, did you want to get to your question first?
Well, just since you brought it up. So I'm interested in the balance between the marketing of it, really, because I'm looking at your website. It says and you're marketing it. Not all cannabis is created equal. So, in other words, come to our dispensary and not to others. So there sort of is a line between providing penicillin and making sure that people are buying your penicillin. So I guess, Zach, you're the business guy. How do you exploit that balance without over-exploiting it?
I think there's two primary ways in which we
do. Are those too loud for you? I'm sorry.
The headphones? Yes. Okay, I'll just put them back on when the caller comes
on.
There are two primary ways we do it. One is we build a beautiful space that is incredibly customer-friendly. We see in the space that some other dispensaries have built spaces more like pharmacies, more like
an Aldi.
More like an Aldi, perhaps.
You have to bring your own bag.
The security is very upfront, and so you feel like you're walking into a bank or something like that. And people don't usually normally have great experiences with that. The other thing that we do is curate the best selection of product that's out there. And I'm really going to hand that point over to Paul, since that's his area.
So, Steve, like in terms of cannabis, it's not just about which type it is or you know, what the name is or even what the lab results come back in terms of cannabinoid profile,
right,
such as the levels of THC or cannabidiol, CBD. You know, there's a big portion in terms of how you grow it, in terms of was it grown with organic, you know, organic fertilizers, or was it using, you know, sort of man-made fertilizers, you know, the exact kind of thing you use to grow it.
That has an impact on the quality of it or on the marketing of
it? Sure, it's going to have an impact in terms of what your final product is going to actually be. There's a long drying and curing process that varies from grower to grower. There's just so many different things you can do to the plant in order to, you know, come up with this final product that's either really superior or just sort of okay.
It's one of the things I hadn't thought of. You're not just providing medical marijuana to people for whom it has been recommended. I mean, you're competing with other dispensaries, too. I mean, just by your language, right? You want these patients to come to yours and not to one in Aurora or somewhere else. Nothing wrong with that?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, we're all businesses, right? So
yeah, I mean,
some
it's
competition.
Just, and it's just something, it hadn't occurred to me that way.
But the way we outcompete our competitors is just by being great at
what we do
and caring. You know, passionately about everything.
Got to be honest with you, it's going to be proximity where somebody goes. And somebody wants to know when you open. We have a lot of questions. Let's get one in, and then why don't you guys stay after news? Because we have so many people that have so many questions. Excuse me. Hey, Jan, you had a question for the guys from Dispensary 33. Paul Lee, Zach Zisis. What's your question, Jan?
It's not so much a question. I just, first of all, would like to say, I am so glad to hear this conversation. I have pulled off the road into a parking area so I could call. I'd like to share this. I'm 70 years old. I have never knowingly smoked marijuana.
Knowingly.
I don't think I have. My 47 and 48-year-old kids say, yeah, right, Ma. But I'm hearing more and more about the benefits of being able to use medical marijuana. My daughter has arthritis. I know people who have other diseases that use medical marijuana. I am from Michigan, and I'm told that there will soon be a way to put the proposal on the state ballot to legalize marijuana for recreational use. As I say, I'm 70 years old. I will be out pounding the pavement, getting signatures on petitions to pass this and get it on the ballot.
You are not par for the course for a 70-year-old. A lot of people, I think, right now are horrified at the thought that it's becoming legal, even for medical reasons. But we have to explore all the options. And if it helps people who need it, who are we to judge?
Exactly. Look at little kids who have seizures. They aren't going to smoke it, I'm sure, but if it's administered properly and it helps them, so be it. I'm infuriated that people have their blinders on so badly and they won't even listen to the research, listen to what's going on. It's sad. Marijuana can help people. It helps my daughter. It helps her friend who has had cancer and does. What's wrong with that?
I think Jan, things are about to change, and we thank you so much for calling, and keep listening. We're going to keep these gentlemen after the news because there are a lot of listeners who have a lot of questions. Thanks for pulling over to call.
You're welcome.
All right, we need to, as Jan mentioned, the kids aren't going to smoke it. We'd like to find out how it's dispensed. Really, there are so many questions we have. We're going to take a break. We're going to do some news, and then we're going to continue talking to Paul Lee and Zach Zeisis of Dispensary 33. You guys are located 5001 North Clark Street in Chicago. You haven't opened yet. When do you expect that to happen?
First or second week of December.
All right. We'll keep you posted. You can always go to dispensary33.com to keep track of that. Quick break news and then more about medical cannabis here on 7. Boy, that's weird to say medical cannabis here on 720 WGN. All right. Bill's probably happy he's on vacation this week. Because we are tackling something that needs to be talked about, and it's medical cannabis. There's a dispensary called Dispensary 33 that will be opening sometime in the first week of December, did you say?
Or first or second. It's a little out of our control.
All right. And in the studio with us right now, Zach Zeisis and Paul Lee from Dispensary 33, 5001 North Clark Street in Chicago. You can go to dispensary33.com and find out more information about this. Steve, you and I'm not for it or against it. I am just trying to find out more about it.
Well, I'm for it. I mean, why not?
I am trying to get all these listeners. Can we fly through these calls?
Sure.
Because there are so many people that have questions about it. I guess I am for it. I you never want to irritate anyone. But let's talk to Chris. Chris, you have a great question for the guys from Dispensary 33. Go ahead.
I want to know, how will it affect my driving? Because I have a host of problems. If I start telling you MS, AFib, congestive heart failure, arthritis, I want to know, will it help my walking, and how will it affect my driving?
Will it help my walking and not affect my driving? That's a great question.
Okay. I definitely think that, in terms of driving under the influence, because there are effects of when side effects of when you take cannabis, it does have a psychoactive effect. You're definitely not supposed to be driving a car while under the influence of marijuana. Now, that being said, not all medications you take will produce that psychoactive effect. However, definitely, just like any other kind of prescription drug or any other drug that you take, you don't want to be operating a vehicle while under the influence of it.
I understand. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so very much.
Good luck to you, Chris. Now, could Chris take it like when she's home for the night before she goes to bed and still reap the effects of it?
Absolutely. That's sort of the ideal situation, is to take it when you're at home.
I guess my main problem, I have trouble breathing with the congestive heart failure and the MS with walking. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know if it would help that. If it would, I'd gladly take it at night.
I certainly think it would help with a lot of that pain that you were feeling. So I think it's worth exploring.
Yeah, there's a lot of pain involved.
Yeah.
Poor thing. All right. Well, thank you for calling, Chris. And
thank you very much. And good luck.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
That's more important. We have another question from Aaron right now, 312-981-7200. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Good afternoon. We've got a bad connection, so maybe get to your point quickly, if you don't mind.
Okay, very quickly. I've got stage 4, a lot of pain. My oncologist said I qualify, but he's not licensed to write the prescription. I don't know where to go to get that so that I could get these drugs.
Your stage 4 cancer, your phone broke out. We didn't hear that, Aaron.
Right. Stage 4, the pain, it does help. I do smoke. It does help pain. my oncologist says he'd be happy to have me get this, but that he himself is not licensed to write the prescription. So where do I go to find somebody who can write the prescription?
That's a great question.
So the doctors that write the prescriptions are not any different kind of doctors. You don't need a special license at all. As long as the doctor is able to prescribe medications, then the doctor is able to give this recommendation. If your doctor doesn't want to sign the form, you are absolutely free to go to another doctor who will side with your wishes. That's sort of what we call a compassionate approach in terms of siding with the patient in terms of what they want, in terms of and if they find a benefit from this. So the only stipulation there is that you have to have what the state calls a bona fide relationship. So you can't just see your doctor one time, have him write the recommendation, and then give it back to you, and you never see him again. In Illinois, you actually have to have some sort of relationship with that doctor.
So could you, Aaron, maybe ask your doctor for a recommendation for someone who might write a recommendation for you?
Yeah, it sounds like that's a smart way. It might be an educational bit. Maybe he doesn't realize. I mean, he writes all the prescriptions for the narcotics I take. It may be that he just needs an education himself.
And, you know, we can always contact your doctor if you wish. And we have great physician literature that we've written that we think really helps in terms of letting them understand the rules and regs about the program. A lot of things about cannabis that they might not know about. So please, email us over at info@dispensary33.com, and we'll definitely reach out to you.
Thank you. Good luck to you, Aaron. And I see where a doctor might be hesitant to recommend it because this is all so new.
Well, but is this what we're talking about? Because, I was asking you guys off the air about the small number of people approved, and it seems that it's very slow going. And there's some reluctance from some organizations to get their doctors on board.
That's right. So there are, large hospital groups throughout the state of Illinois, many of whom have basically forbidden their physicians from writing these recommendations for their patients, regardless of the personal opinion of those physicians.
And a lot of doctors are in a few big groups, right, in the state of Illinois now.
That's right. That's right. Those big groups fundamentally control the marketplace of physicians.
And their concern is?
I can't read into their minds, but they are nationally focused businesses and deal with the federal government, and the federal government is hostile to medical cannabis.
I mean, just hearing Aaron's story,
doctor, wouldn't you be hesitant to do this at the very start of this program?
Because doctors are. Doctors become familiar with new medications and new procedures all
but
the time.
But this isn't medication. This is, a type 1 controlled substance. This is like going,
but
it's okay
that's by,
to...
But a lot of medications are too, right? I mean...
No, there's no medications. The definition of a Schedule I controlled substance is that it has no medicinal value.
Oh, okay.
So even though our federal government has itself produced studies showing the medicinal value of cannabis, they've still maintain that scheduling as a Schedule I.
But listening to Aaron's story, it sounded to me almost like maybe his doctor was being instructed not to recommend it.
It's hard to say.
It sounded like he was maybe uncomfortable doing it, but a great, I think, Steve, you brought it up, or someone said to talk to your doctor and say, do you know someone who might be more comfortable?
Right.
Because the type 1 is heroin, LSD, marijuana, mescaline, ecstasy, methaqualone, which is a quaalude. This is serious business. I don't know if it's type 2 because my kids take ADHD meds. It's a stimulant, and that you cannot call over the phone. You have to have a physical prescription for it, but that's a medication, so that's different. These are not medications. These are substances, basically. Maybe a couple of other questions here. Oh, boy. Jerry has a good question here. Hi, Jerry. Thanks for talking to us. We're talking to Paul Lee and Zach Zeisis from Dispensary 33 and finding out more about medical cannabis. You have a question, Jerry?
Yes, I do. I currently see a pain management specialist, and he wants full control over any Class 2 medications to ensure that I'm not doctor shopping, which, of course, I don't. If I receive medical marijuana, will it show up on the state/DEA database as another, as a drug dispensed? Because he may take my existing meds away in order to provide the marijuana, and I don't want that to happen.
I Well, I know one thing for sure is that all your medical information in this program is HIPAA protected, just as if you were to go to another doctor. People can't just pull this information as they wish. We at our dispensary are trained in terms of HIPAA and protecting your information. I just couldn't see any kind of group coming in and figuring out that you were on some sort of list for medical cannabis. In particular, I'm not sure specifically with what you asked, but I do know that you are protected fully in terms of privacy.
But since he is my existing doctor, I've already signed HIPAA release forms, and my question is really a data question. If I receive a marijuana prescription, and will it show up along with all the other medications that I received from Walgreens?
From Walgreens.
Walgreens
just means, is there a record of it for the other things that he may be taking from a prescription? Do you want to research that, guys, and maybe take Jerry's number and get back to him with some more information?
Sure.
Again, this is very new. Jerry, hang on, okay? We're going to get you get Jerry's phone number, and maybe you can look into that. There are definitely some things that maybe you don't know the answers to yet. Like, I'm curious, does insurance cover it?
No, it does not.
All right. I wouldn't know if that would be the case. I think we have time for one more, and we can address this. And this is George. Hi, George. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Zach and Paul.
Hi.
I have a question for you. This is a really stupid question. All the questions before me were amazing, and mine's kind of dumb. So
no dumb questions.
We've all seen the armored vehicles, the banks doing their drops and this and that. Now, when the dispensary gets a shipment, especially in Chicago, for that matter, I mean, what's stopping just a couple of idiots with weapons scoring big? Like, is there like a secret location, and then it gets moved discreetly? Like, how do you handle not getting hit and just kind of keeping your product and keeping your inventory safe?
Not a stupid question, but they may not want to answer this for safety reasons.
Well, we can talk a little bit about how...
Yeah, no detail of how, what, time and place. Just in general, like, how do you keep your inventory safe? Like, what do you guys do to protect your assets?
So the regulations in Illinois have been incredibly stringent on the security side. The product that comes to us from the cultivators is all going to be in armored cars with armed security guards. Within our facilities, there are security cameras everywhere, controlled access doors, motion control sensors. I can really go on and on about the security protocols that have been required by the state and that provide comfort and security to everyone in this space.
All right. Not a stupid question either. I thought that was a pretty good question. We have to take a break, and then we're going to come back and wrap up, including a lot of people are texting and wondering if marijuana is a gateway drug, something we should discuss. 312-981-7200. Wendy Snyder, Steve Bertrand. It's 720 WGN.